بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: بادروا بالأعمال سبعا، هل تنتظرون إلا فقرا منسيا، أو غنى مطغيا، أو مرضا مفسدا، أو هرما مفندا، أو موتا مجهزا، أو الدجال فشر غائب ينتظر، أو الساعة فالساعة أدهى وأمر. رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hasten with good deeds before seven things overtake you. Before seven things overtake you, and when you will be unable to perform good deeds, before that happens, now hasten with good deeds. Rasulullah sallam mentioned the seven things in a form of a question. هَلْ تَنْتَظِرُونَ إِلَّا فَقْرًا مُنْسِيًا. Are you waiting for poverty that will make you forgetful? When a person becomes extremely poor, Allah Ta'ala, protect us, Allah, give us sufficient amount of livelihood to live in this world. But when a person becomes extremely poor, it can happen at times that he may lose his iman if he is offered some hampers, some assistance from those who are enemies of Islam. And because this person is in this state, then he gives in. So because he requires some assistance and no Muslim person came to his assistance, and sometimes he loses iman in this way by following the other religion that he's invited towards because he's getting some type of financial help. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, before poverty overtakes you, such poverty that will make you forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned, كَادَ الْفَقْرُ أَن يَكُونَ كُفْرًا. It is possible sometimes that poverty can become a means of kufr, of disbelief, in the explanation that I have given. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, are you waiting for poverty that will make you forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَوْ غِنًا مُطْغِيًا. Or are you waiting for affluence and such wealth that will make you transgress the limits of Sharia? When a person is very poor, because now he's seeking his livelihood, he can become negligent and forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the converse, a person has so much, he's become so affluent and becomes so greedy, that also makes him transgress the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah says, do not wait for these conditions, extreme poverty or affluence. Or are you waiting for such a sickness that will be a deadly disease? Are you waiting for such a sickness that will make you disabled? May Allah protect us. When a person gets such a deadly disease, he's unable to do any good deed. He's unable to perform his salat, he can't give any zakat, he can't go for hajj properly. So before all these things happen, badiru bil amal, hasten with good deeds. Three have been mentioned. The fourth one, أَوْ هَرَمًا مُفَنِّدًا. Oh, are you waiting for old age, such an old age that will make you become senile? Again, Allah protect us. When a person becomes senile, he becomes like a little child, he becomes muhtaj. Now people have to care for him, look after him, he does not know what he's saying. So are you waiting for that condition in your life? It will be too late to do good deeds. أَوْ مَوْتًا مُجْهِزًا. The fifth one, are you waiting for a sudden death? When death comes, then a person has no chance to do any good deed. One is the person, he is sick, and then he still has some time to make tawbah, istighfar, do whatever he requires to do. Here, maut comes suddenly. So when the person gets a sudden death, obviously he has no time to prepare for death. Then, awid dajjal. Are you waiting for dajjal? Remember, when dajjal will appear, that's the worst thing that can ever be awaited. فَشَرُّ غَائِبٍ يُنْتَذَرْ. When Dajjal will come with all his feats and all his tricks, his deception, it will be very difficult to stay or not to fall into his traps. May Allah protect us. That is why Suratul Kahf on a Friday, if a person reads Suratul Kahf, he is protected from the deception of Dajjal. So are you waiting for Dajjal to come? It will be very difficult to do good deeds then. And the seventh thing, awisa'ata. Or are you waiting for the day of Qiyamah to take place? Fasa'atu adha wa amar. Qiyamah is calamitous. It is very bitter, very sour. Imagine when Qiyamah takes place, then a person will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do good deeds, but it is too late. Like an examination. When the time is up, The teacher says, right, give in hand all your scripts, put all pens down, now you can't write one dot after that. So in this hadith, Rasulullah is exhorting us to hasten with good deeds, not to procrastinate. وعنه رضي الله عن أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يوم خيبر. Another hadith of Sayyidina Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه. This is the last hadith of this particular chapter of proceeding with good deeds and not procrastinating. He said it was Khaybar. Khaybar took place in the 7th year of the Hijrah. You remember the Jews were banished from Medina Munawwara because they were very treacherous and they persecuted, or they were always hostile against the Muslims. So when they broke all agreements, then they were banished. But despite the fact that they lived in Khaybar, which was a very affluent area, and they had a lot of orchards and trees, they had plentiful, they were still always interfering with the Muslims and breaking agreements and pacts and harming the Muslims. So Rasulullah then decided now to fight the Yahud. It's a very long incident, inshallah some other time we'll explain the whole incident. But for a few days they were conquering the forts, and most of the forts were conquered, but there were one or two that remained. So various Sahaba tried, but they were not successful. Rasulullah finally says, لَأُعْتِيَنَّ هَذِهِ الرَّايَةَ رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. That tomorrow I will give this flag. Remember that they had the armies had a flag. I will give this flag to such a person who loves Allah and his Rasul. Another narration is mentioned, I will give this flag to such a person who loves Allah and his Rasul, and Allah and his Rasul love him. When the Sahaba heard this, قال عمر رضي الله تعالى ما أحببت الإمارة إلا يومئذ. He said, I never wish to become Amir and be a leader any time in my life for anything except that particular day. For this particular reason, that Rasulullah is giving glad tidings that I will be giving the flag to such a man who loves Allah and his Rasul, and Allah and his Rasul love him also. فتساورت رجاء أدعى لها. I had this great desire, or I made myself appear taller so I could be selected and I could be spotted by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I could be given this flag. فَدَعَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ سَلَّمَ عَلِيَّ بْنَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, all Sahaba loved Allah and Rasul. Allah and Rasul loved all of them. This particular incident shows the virtue of Sayyidina Ali رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Where is Ali?" فَأَعْطَاهُ إِيَّهَا. In some narrations mentioned, Ali رضي الله عنه was not well. He complained of a very sore eye. Rasulullah called for Ali. And then he took his lu'ab mubarak, his saliva, and he read and he blew on it, and he rubbed it, the eye of Sayyidina Ali رضي الله عنه. Sayyidina Ali رضي الله عنه used to say, Wallah, I could see better with this eye now than the other eye. Rasulullah then gives him the flag. فَأَعْطَاهُ إِيَّهَا. وَقَالَ إِمْشِي وَلَا تَلْتَفِتْ. Proceed and do not turn back. Now, to not turn back could be the literal meaning, or it actually means that go and fight and be successful. Until you're not successful, don't come back. Hatta yaftah Allahu alayk, until Allah gives you victory. Fasara Ali yunshiyan. Sayyidina Ali took the flag. He walked for a few meters. Thumma waqafa. Then suddenly he stops. Walam yaltafit. He does not turn his body. فَصَرَخَ. He addresses Rasulullah SAW from there. In other words, he has to speak a bit loudly. He took the literal meaning of this word that imshi, walk, wala tiltafit, don't turn around. So with his chest facing the direction he was going, he turned his neck probably, and then he called out to Rasulullah SAW. And what do you see? Ya Rasulullah, ala maza uqatiru nas. On what basis, on what grounds must I fight the people? What must I kill them with? On what basis? قَالَ قَاتِلْهُمْ حَتَّى يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَقَدْ مَنَعُوا مِنْكَ دِمَاءَهُمْ أَمْوَالُهُمْ إِلَّا بِحَقِّهَا وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ رواه مسلم. The narration, in other narration is mentioned, when Rasulullah was asked by Sayyidina Ali رضي الله, on what ground must I fight them? Rasulullah said, "Unfuz ala rislik." Oh, Ali, take it easy. And Rasulullah tells him first to invite the people towards Islam first. If they refuse to accept Islam, then tell them they will have to pay a jizya, a tax. And if they pay the jizya and tax, their lives are safe. Their wealth and property is safe. If they still refuse, because they were treacherous and they were harming the Muslims, they refuse to accept Islam, they refuse to pay jizya, then you fight them, حَتَّى يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, until they bring iman. فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا, but the moment they bring iman, the moment they utter the kalima, then they have protected their lives and their properties from you, إِلَّا بِحَقِّهَا, except with its right, meaning if then a person who becomes a Muslim and he steals somebody else's property or he takes somebody else's possession unjustly, then of course the laws of Sharia will then apply. So this hadith is explaining to us the story of Khaybar. I mean, the main point was when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will give this flag tomorrow, then the Sahaba were eager to get this flag because of this great virtue and did not want to delay, and they all wanted this particular benefit or this blessing from of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. And there's so many other important points that we can derive from these ahadith, but the main chapter was that we should proceed with good deeds. Do not delay, do not procrastinate before maut comes, before qiyamah comes, occurs, before a person becomes sick, before he becomes very poor, before he becomes too affluent and greedy, before all these things happen. Whatever health we have, wealth we have, energy, time, utilize it in the best of way to seek Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.